I'm a little worried about that.
Birthday tomorrow. Birthday cake.
Birthday,
and ice cream.
Birthday tomorrow. Everyone remember that. I guess we'll call the Joint Committee of Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee to order for the first time this session. I apologize that I wasn't here on Monday and Tuesday to bring the committee to order. And you have in front of you kind of the agenda we're going to follow through on the overview information. Starts out with attendance, which Doug so amply provided us. We are going to try and start at 1 o'clock every day and continue to move. We'll start as a subcommittee of the whole on those days that everyone's not here. We don't have a quorum, and we're going to continue to move the thing because we've got a lot of big issues to go.
Mr. Chair, so we can get my colleagues back to work or other activities, you wanted them to introduce themselves.
I'd like you to introduce yourself.
And then maybe we can take it from there. And if you want to sort of get a sense of what agencies they cover, about four pages into this packet that starts with this page is a list of agencies and the LFO analyst and the BAM analyst listed. So I'll give you an idea of what agencies they have.
I think everyone here has probably worked with each of you or to some degree or another, but I thought we could do that. And also while everyone's here, I wanted to try and get a list. If members of the committee would give me a list or bring it next time to committee of those items that they'd like our analysts to look into. That way, when we're in the middle of a budget, we're not spending tons of time looking at a particular issue. If we want to sink our teeth into a little more, it'll flag some of the issues that we want to spend some time on. So I'll have direction, the analysts will have direction, and everyone can work productively rather than with surprises on the issues that we're interested in. Robin, you want to? No.
I'm Robin Lamont. Can I have Judicial Branch Agencies, the Judicial Department, and the Public Defense Services Commission? And the issues that we're going to be dealing with those two agencies are that the Indigent Defense Function is transferred to the Public Defense Services Commission. So we're going to have to look to the details about that transfer. And then concerns about the level of funding for both of those agencies as a result of interim budget cuts.
My name is Kathy Miller. I'm a
local. She has the Board of Parole and Post Prison Supervision.
Doug's going to be our main, what do you call it, coordinator.
Sounds fine with me.
Yes. And he has to work with
the only man in this group of analysts. Judy James, who's actually holding down human services today with a budget, will also be, I think, doing just the board of investigators for the in this subcommittee. Would you like to quickly run through this?
Yeah, why don't we just go ahead and run.
I think most of you have heard this, but let me key in a couple areas. We'd like some direction about coffee. I know some of the subcommittees have decided not to do coffee because of the cost of it, but I wanted to bring that forward as an issue that we'd like some direction on.
This is a post-lunch committee, so.
Yeah, I don't think, Mr. Chairman, although I was a little bit late today, I don't have a problem bringing lunch from upstairs, or coffee from upstairs.
And just to take a pencil,
that is a no
supply
on
coffee across the board here. Just a reminder, and you've heard this before, these microphones are sensitive. The ones in the hearing room F are very sensitive, I understand. So in terms of side conversations, watch out how that you're not real near the microphones. Agendas, there's a couple samples.
Introduce Christine.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. This is Chris or Christine Chester?
Chris.
Chris will be joining us for the hearings, and she will take care of the microphones to make sure that we are not inadvertently overheard. There are two agendas samples. If you turn into the page, tomorrow's agenda is there. This will be the daily agenda, which we'll post. And then on the next page, we'll try to get a weekly agenda to you on the Friday before the week starts, just to lay out what we're doing the next week. This is next week's schedule. Again, a reminder, on Monday and Tuesday in room F will be this joint informational hearing. It's more designed to bring together the policy folks from Judiciary plus the funding folks from Ways and Means to talk about the overall public safety system. Most of the, or all of it, will be done by either community or state agency folks. Staff will play a very small role. Marla Ray will coordinate it, or be the master of ceremonies might be the right word. And it's really designed to take a look at sort of the interrelationship between both state and local agencies, and the, not necessarily a budget hearing, but more so to make sure everyone understands those relationships that are so important. Representative Panson was talking about this briefly this morning, about watching how revenues are affected, if cuts are made, how they may affect revenues and those kinds of things, and making sure folks understand how folks go through the system, starting off with law enforcement, the court system, the correctional and jail system. And also we're bringing in some prevention-related things around mental health and alcohol and drugs.
And I believe that we've extended the invitation for that, those 2 days of joint hearings, to the Senate Judiciary Committee, right, as well as Representative Winter's Human Services Subcommittee. Right. So I think it'll be an interesting presentation. It may be too high level or not, depending on this group, but we want to at least breeze through it to have a tickler in our mind as we move through the system.
Is it 1 o'clock?
1 to 3 again.
That's in hearing room F.
In hearing room F, that's right. And then Wednesday and Thursday of next week, we will start the Department of Justice. While this is a relatively large agency, we need to do this early on, just like what we try to do DAS early on. It is a statewide assessment with the Attorney General's charge, and that we'll be hearing that budget and then probably acting on the hourly charges, and then we may have to put that aside for a while. So that's the agenda. Back on the first page, I have a list of the subcommittee, like I said before, the BAM and LFO analysts in this is the fourth page in. Then if you take a look on the first page, here's the general order of things or agencies we will go through. The schedule is put together mainly to balance out staff, also taking into account some of the groupings of agency. You'll see that corrections will come last because we will need to wait for a prison forecast that is due out in early April. This is an aggressive style and generally reflects trying to complete the agency presentations and hearings by the 17th of April. On the back of that first page, just a reminder that we'll deal with budget-related fee bills. There's a few of those. Federal grant applications, which is sort of an e-board-like process. I already know of one by one of the agencies that we'll have to bring forward in the next few weeks. The state law requires agencies to get approval from the e-board or the Ways and Means Committee prior to applying for a new federal grant. And then toward the end of the session, for those, most of you have served on Ways and Means or have been close to it, there will be likely quite a bit of legislation that is substantive legislation flowing through here toward the end of the session. In talking to the chair, he did not feel like we really should be doing group tours, but I have enclosed a list about the fifth page back in of suggested tours that staff will be very happy to work with you and the agencies to schedule. We do not have meetings on Friday. That's one day, or whenever it can fit into your schedule if you feel like there's that would be helpful. Oregon Military Department, the C4 building. I can never remember what the C4 stands for, but it's the building out on State Street just before you get to Hawthorne and the freeway. It is the new building. It's just being occupied now, so really it'd be best to wait a month or two. But that building will have the response, emergency response centers from Office of Emergency Management. It will have one of the two dispatched centers for the Oregon State Police, as well as facilities for military and DOT emergency. So that would be a good tour that groups a number of things together. State Police, the C4 building, the Portland Forensics Lab is an interesting tour. You get a real feel for what kind of work they do. It is also their biggest lab. The ride along with the patrol official and life trooper, the agency will assist you in setting that up, as well as there are a number of entities out on the Portland Road facility just before you get to the freeway on Portland Road here in Salem that you may be interested. Department of Corrections, Coffee Creek is a brand new facility in Wilsonville. I think you said you were taking a tour, yeah. Senator Devlin, there this weekend or soon. There is the State Penitentiary here in Salem and a couple minimum security facilities that are interesting to see, since those are significantly different from the other larger medium and maximum security facilities. Oregon Youth Authority McLaren was suggested as a place you could visit. Soon, many of the regional facilities may be shutting down, so they may not be up and running. And then finally, the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training is their training facility out in Monmouth. So those are some suggested tours. Again, we'll be glad to work with you as staff in setting those up if you're interested.
And, you know, I've talked to each of you to some degree individually about the tour, so unless somebody has a burning desire that they think there is something that we need to see, I'm not inclined to schedule any tour, as we said. So, but if there is something that you think it's important for the committee to see, please let me know. We can talk about it. Accommodate it if we need to.
In terms of the hearings and the work session process, we should be getting agency binders on the governor's budget as they come in. They're struggling and hurrying to try to get that through audit. We are doing the same with our analyses. We have not published one yet, but we're working on those. And we will try to get to those, pass those out in subcommittee as they become available. Like, I'm finishing up the Department of Justice this afternoon, and we'll get to that, pass that out hopefully to your offices maybe on Friday if the review process gets worked through quickly. And we will also try to get the presentation materials a day or so early to you if you're willing to give us a call, and we'll get those. For the first few agencies, that may be more difficult because they're hurrying to get those done. And I'll bring you more information on that. But if you would like a copy of the presentation document, we'll request the agencies to get it to us a day or two before they're scheduled, so you have a chance to review that if you wish. I caution you, though, that we only get a limited number of copies. So if you do take one, you need to bring it to the daily hearings, as well as if you take one back to the office after one of the days, please bring it the next day. In here, and you've heard from other subcommittees, the presentations, contents for the large and small committees, as well as a prioritized list, which is the second from the back page of this first packet, and I think all of you have seen that. That is supposed to be part of the presentations for by the committees, and we'll see those as they come forward and work with the subcommittee chair on how he wants to deal with that. Budget notes, as a reminder, the co-chairs do want those to flow through the subcommittee chair. I will be glad to help draft budget notes and work with the agencies on them. But please at least either come to me, work out a concept that we need to take it to the chair of the subcommittee, or bring the concept to the subcommittee chair, and then I can work on language if you so desire.
I prefer, if you're going to do a budget committee note, just to come to me, let me know, so that then we're all on the same page, so Doug doesn't have multiple requests. I mean, I can't prohibit you from going to Doug, but at least I'll know what's going on. And for the other two chairs who are here, I'd do the same for your committee, too. So. But I know that it's a dynamic process on the budget notes, and some of it happens at the last minute. But just let us know as soon as you can on them. I don't think we're intending to move any of these budgets relatively quickly unless they're on other funds' budget, probably. So,
please keep in mind the role of budget notes. I think the committee, the co-chairs, do want to try to limit the number of budget notes. They are for sort of expectations or directing agency action, but really they need to be tied to something related to the execution of the budget. In the past, that hasn't always been the case.
I thought we added a specific function to budget notes. That was probably under the last administration where they said something for the governor to ignore.
Be that as it may, I think that's it for sort of the process. If we turn to the last page of this first packet, I think all of you have probably seen this handout or something similar to the other subcommittees. But the difference is the target. The co-chairs have made the assumption, made the decision they're going to base a target strategy on 10% growth in 03-05 instead of 14%, which is sort of assumed, which is assumed in the governor's budget. So that means that they have set targets for further reductions in each subcommittee equal to 4%, of which 1% is sort of retained by the subcommittee for priority buybacks, for a lack of better term. For us, that 4%, for this subcommittee, that 4% is $70.1 million general fund, which is a significant amount of money.
Richard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the 4% include not only direct general fund appropriations, but also, other funds that are basically generated by general funds? From
I think that is always. I think this is always a moving target and up to debate. So, said 1%, as Representative Butler knows, chairing committees the last two sessions down here, it doesn't always work out that way.
I'm thinking in particular in the Department of Justice in terms of that much of that does come from general fund dollars, even though it is other funds.
We probably will not be able to retain the savings that we accrue as a result of the Attorney General.
I think I have asked that question a couple times, have not gotten an answer back from my boss on what happens with those assessments, whether they're DAS assessments or the AGs. In the past, those have been under the ownership of the co-chairs. I'm not sure. We haven't gotten a definitive answer to that yet. That assessment or charge for AG costs will be recommending a downward trend in that because of some of the things that are included in it, like a cost of living for employees, the second marriage, all things that have been taken out in the rest of the agencies, and the governor did not have time to go back and change the rate. Usually, the governor's budget does not change that rate. It is left up to the legislature to deal with.
Just so people know, too, I'd also like to have you alert me as you know or if you have particular bills that you're aware of regarding, you know, cost savings measures that are out in the policy committee. Representative Williams and Senator Minnis and I are going to try and get together on a reasonably regular basis to try and look at the direction we're headed and where their committees are headed on a policy basis. But if there's consolidation, savings, policy things that are going on, if you could make us aware of those things so I can have that interaction with those chairs as well. And so Doug's aware of that fact, too, and we can make the co-chairs aware of that fact. I would certainly appreciate those heads up, you know. Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Do we know if there's any bills out there that are going to be talking about possibly privatizing, you know, a couple of prisons or something like that? Have we seen any bills or heard of any bills that way? I know it was talked about earlier.
Chair, Senator George, I think I've seen a couple come across my desk with that in mind, so it's there.
Okay.
And I think it'd probably be good to suggest to the agency in their presentation to discuss that because it's been studied a number of times in previous sessions, and there's always two sides of the issue, but there is quite a bit of background information on that.
And that's why I said earlier when you, I don't think when you were here, Senator George, about if we have issues like the prison privatization, we've got a hot bunking issue that we've talked about before. I'm going to gather some of the materials on some of those things, and should the committee or individual members wish to have those sent to their office, so at least they have some background material. But what I'd like to do is just have you guys write a quick list for me of items that you may have. If you don't want me to identify it, but I'm going to compile a list and then maybe distribute it to the rest of the committee so everyone knows what issues people are thinking about, so then we can either distribute stuff as a whole ahead of time rather than trying to do it all in committee. Our time's limited, and trying to hit that April 17th deadline is going to be very, 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 very difficult, I think, if we want to try and squeeze $70 million worth of savings out of these particular agencies. So not that there's not savings to be found, but...
Just one question. The 14%, which is assumed within the governor's budget, is that the 13.6 or is that the 18%? I thought the 18% included the full, including the non-allocated as a result of the salary roll-ups, and the 13.6 did not include that. It's my understanding that we had to find this other 3% ending forecast efficiencies as well, which was somewhere, if you took the difference between 10 and 18%, that'd be 8%, and then 3% on top of that would be 11%. Where are we at in that regard, Doug?
I'm not, Mr. Chair, Representative Butler. I'll need to get back, because I was told that we need to find the $70 million, which represented the difference between the 14 and the 10%. Now, and I think part of your question was around there in as agencies present their budget, the numbers that I'll get to in a minute do include extra funds in the sense that the second merit costs need to be pulled out of those budgets.
Okay.
That is a single line item in the governor's budget. I think it's $137 million. Each of the agencies still include those dollars because they did not. This will take some time to get taken care of. Larry, nice vendor from our office, and DAS are working together to try to get those dollars specifically identified so they can we can come forward and make that as part of our recommendation to you for those. So that may be a little bit of the difference that you were just talking about,
so
I think.
70 does not include the 3% then either.
I believe that the 3%, the 70 is 4%, of which 3% is what is being referred to here, and the 1% is the holdback for the subcommittee priorities.
Well,
and I'll verify that.
As Fibber McGee said to Molly, that ain't the way I heard it.
Okay.
That's a little different than what was presented, I think, by the co-chairs in one of our other meetings. It's either that the 4% has to be grossed up by 3%, or that somewhere in the vicinity 8% needs to be grossed up by 3%. So I think, Doug, we're either off by a little bit or a lot.
Well, I'll verify that with with Ken and Larry to determine that, and probably try to write something up so
it's
clearly stated.
Thank you.
Members, I think
Senator George had a question.
Oh, just real quickly, I've had the same question as a chair of a subcommittee and trying to get clarification myself. And I don't have nearly the problem here because almost everything in my committee is dedicated revenue. But one of the things I think you guys are all aware of, that this approach is probably very wise from the standpoint of what we're now looking at as some realistic estimates of revenue. And, I don't know if you guys have seen the study that was done on what Washington State is doing. What they did is they took their highs and their lows, and they came back at just slightly over 7%. And if I was a betting person, I would bet on their economy recovery ahead of ours. And so I think this is a good idea to be very conservative approaching this budget. I hate special sessions.
Put that in a form of motion.
No, that's more of a comment than a question.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Okay. Well, kind of the same kind of a concept. And I hope we come up with the most realistic growth figure that we can. I don't like special sessions, and I'd hate to be thinking about having to do add back a lot of extra add backs and stuff in case we got some spikes. But focus on as close to reality as we can project. The other thing, though, raised a very interesting thing that excites me a lot. If we get away from business as usual, one of the things that I think has always kept us from saving money is the disconnect between Ways and Means and the substantive committees. And for example, I'll throw out kind of a liberal as well as a conservative concept, privatizations of prisons, which is very controversial, be a very hard sell with a lot of people in this building. Another one I like and support is earn good time credit for Measure 11 people. Well, in the context of, there's a lot of reasons, political reasons, to vote against both of those concepts. But if we were talking in terms of, like, earn good time credit on Measure 11, if we were talking in terms of these savings add this amount to, could add this amount to the state police budget, or this, these are some other public savings or public safety programs that could be saved in this environment, there might be a, that should be the environment that we should be talking about the savings. The same thing with privatization of a prison. On one hand, I'd probably have a real hard time supporting that. On the other hand, if I could see that there were dollar savings that were actually going into enhancing the rest of the correction system, maybe, you know. But we can't get into that kind of a discussion in Ways and Means because we haven't, it's not got out of judiciary yet. And if there's a way to combine those two processes, or at least get to the point that we can have those kinds of discussions, I think we might be able to accomplish a lot more than we've been able to in the past.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To give you some forewarning in terms of one of those issues, privatization of facilities, I think you'll find an opponent on this side, but not for the reasons that people would typically cite. At the same time, though, I would ask if we were going to explore a bill like that, that we explored it in a timely basis, that we limited the consideration of that, and that we made a decision as a committee, and that we didn't actually bog down the committee for 3 or 4 weeks over an issue we would not come in agreement to. And if you had
6 weeks. I mean, 3 or 4, that's a pittance. Let's go for 6 or 8 weeks. I mean,
yeah.
As long as we've got time to burn, Trevor.
Well, thanks for the heads up. And
probably didn't surprise you.
No, it didn't surprise me. And, you know, I think we want to dispatch with the bills that we get rapidly. That's why we're trying to keep the dialogue open with the judiciary chair, mm-hmm. so I'm aware of what's going on, and I can help make you aware of what's going on with substantive policy bills that also could have an impact, so you can follow the debate. Hopefully, yeah. I'm going to do it ahead of time so you can follow some of the debate, so
yeah.
we don't have to have a whole series of extended hearings. You know, this process about trusting, to some degree, trusting each other. We all become experts in various fields in this process. We're masters of not everything, but masters of maybe one or two things. So hopefully we can trust each other a little bit and help make it work. So I know that Doug, we've asked Doug to give kind of a generalized overview. I think everybody who sits on this committee now also sits on full, and we have 3 committee chairs. So I think that you've heard a lot of this. So Doug, I think, is just going to go over and hit the highlights of those items that maybe weren't teased out necessarily, or tease out a little bit more some of those items that need to be teased out in the general overview that we had in front of full. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm the lawyer, and most of my family says thank heaven. And I really don't understand the eccentricities and inner workings of a lot of the things that we're going to be looking at here. So I'm wondering if when we talk about, for instance, Judicial Department and Department of Justice, and I'm looking at that and saying, Jimmy, I thought maybe they were all in one. So I would like to know some of the inner workings of these various organizations, why we have, who we have. I please don't misunderstand the nature of my question. It's just that I would like to know how these all interplay one with another as you go down them, and what impact, for instance, having come a little bit like Representative Hansen from local government, I know that if the state police, if we budget lots of money for the state police, and the state police are out there enforcing and ticketing and so forth, and doing good investigations as they're wont to do, that they're then going to have an opportunity to go in and present tremendously fine developed cases before a DA, but I'm not sure where the DAs are at here. They're going to be one of these departments, I assume. There it is right there, district attorneys and their deputies. But if the district attorneys and their deputies don't have enough resources, or if we, wherever the courts are in this process, if we, and is that the judicial department?
Yes, the judicial department.
Okay. So then if we don't have the money there, then I guess what I'm saying is that if the pig and the python don't fit together, I just would like to know that inner working.
That's why we're going to have the general overall meeting with jointly with the Judiciary Committee and Human Services Committee. I think everything will be covered to some degree except probably the military department.
Right.
And I think that we're all to some degree aware of what they do, and I'm not sure counsel and court procedures and some of these smaller things we're going to get kind of on a one-up, and they will explain how they play into it. But probably the military department, dispute resolution commission, are we having BPSST with the overall?
I don't think they'll be, other than mentioned, part of the overall, but I mean, most people I think understand they are the law enforcement training and certification role, and
fire and safety.
They do training on fire,
EMTs and
EMTs,
fire corrections,
telecommunication, or the folks that are doing dispatching, parole and probation officers, and a whole host of those kinds of folks too. So they really are the training arm of public safety.
But beyond that, beyond those few things, the major budgets that we have, we're going to get a very good overall where we squeeze the balloon and how it, which end the air comes out.
What we've asked the presenters, and have actually sort of coached them to do, is who they are, what they do, but more importantly, how do they affect the other parts of the system and change it? That's really what we want folks to do. They will also present, sort of make sure people understand what their funding sources are, both at the state level, but more importantly at the local level. And then also they will talk some about where the areas of discretion they have. I mean, an area of discretion for DAs, for example, is, you know, they need to make choices because of, you know, resource constraints on who they're, what cases they're going to move and what cases they're going to hold back. And so they'll be outlining what those areas of discretion are that they do have.
Representative Hansen.
Well, one thing that it's not our job in the budget, but it sure might be helpful, would be, I assume after this budget is set, people are going to have to triage services. That it's not, you know, there's just not as much money. It should be helpful if they were all kind of operating on the same triage. That, you know, that the police were making arrests that they knew would be prosecuted, and the prosecutors were getting forensics evidence that they knew were needed anyway. That the system, that it didn't get fragmented in terms of who was deciding where they were going to do services to. That it was pretty consistent across the whole system.
Well, if any of us were the benevolent dictator, it might work that way. But I don't. We're going to make the attempt to try and do that. This is the first time to try and do that, I think, at least for several years, generations, whatever. We're going to try and do that. I've got some policy bills I'm going to try and pump down here so that they, so that hopefully the law enforcement community will talk and communicate with each other as opposed to having individual silos and fiefdoms. So we're going to continue to look at that. You want to go over this real quick?
Yeah, no, I'm going to skip a lot of this just to touch base. The first page is just the list of agencies. The next two pages show the distribution across entire state government. Public safety is 16% of the general fund, 7% of total funds. Page 4 of that is just, it shows that this area is heavily dependent, unlike I think Senator George is mentioning his subcommittee is almost very little general fund. Here we're talking almost 75% of these agencies' budgets are general fund. The next page is the bar graph, number 5 there. Just a quick note, I'll get to this in a second. Again, as a reminder, you'll notice between the 0103 approved, and that does reflect Ballot measure 28 cuts, and the 0305 governor's budget, you do see an increase here. That increase is there for primarily two reasons. The transfer of child support from the Department of Human Services to the Department of Justice, which is about $11.5 million general fund. And then also the Department of Corrections, which I'll get to in a minute, does see an increase in the governor's budget. And doesn't necessarily follow the 5,100 cuts that many of the other agencies don't, and that was a policy decision that the governor made. I'll talk about that in a minute. The next two are just showing sort of the relative shares. You've seen these before in terms of total or all funds and the general lottery. In terms of general fund, Department of Corrections is your the gorilla in this group of agencies, representing by far the largest share, followed by Judiciary, Youth Authority, State Police, and Public Defense Services Commission. The Public Defense Services Commission is a relatively new agency. What it does is take the old Public Defender's Office and the Indigent Defense Funds and roll them together in a separate state agency. So those dollars used to be either in the Public Defender's Office or in the Judiciary Department in terms of indigent defense. The next page, page 8, just a quick breakdown of by agency what's happening in the budget. And I turn your attention to the far right columns just to show what the changes are between the governor's budget back to 9901 and back to the close of session legislative adopted budget. In terms of general fund, you'll see the corrections has gone up quite a bit. Much of that is due to prison construction, as well as the increasing number of inmates, in large part driven by ballot measure 11, and I'm sure they will talk in great detail about that. Judiciary, we combine that with the Public Defense Services Commission just to make sure that we cover the sort of the transfer of the programs between those two entities. They see a 13% increase from 9901 to the current governor or to the governor's budget, and a small decrease. That money in that line includes in the governor's budget a $35 million reservation in the E-Fund for indigent defense. It's not in their budget, but it is in the emergency fund, and we've included that $35 million in the general fund amount for the governor's budget. Oregon Youth Authority shows a decrease in the governor's budget, both from the 9901 levels and a larger from the 0103. State Police, almost even to the levels they were in 9901 in terms of general fund, and almost a 9% drop. Department of Justice sees an increase, significant increase in general fund. Again, though, that is mostly related to that transfer of general fund dollars from the Department of Human Services to the Department of Justice for child support. Military Department shows a small increase in from 9901 and a 5% drop from 0103. Criminal Justice shows a significant drop from of 25% from 0103 to the governor's budget. Those are almost entirely that budget. Its largest program is juvenile crime prevention grants that go out to counties. Parole Board, for the lack of better term, it shows us an increase. I'll talk about that in a minute because it goes along with what's happening in corrections. And I think I picked them all. Oh, District Attorneys and Deputies, I missed that one. It shows a 1% decrease from the 0103 ledge adopted budget. What you'll learn there is that the programmatic decrease is much larger than that, mainly because they have a significant increase in state government service charges there for tort liability insurance, as all agencies do. But just because of the size of the district attorneys, that is a significant increase of almost $1 million in a $9 million budget. So that is a very large increase. So that will give you an idea of just the budgets. I also need to make sure that you understand, because the judicial department may come This reflects the governor's budget for the judicial department. The judicial department is a separate branch of government. It's treated much of the same as the legislative budget. So the chief justice will be presenting in part his budget and his request budget, and then we will work toward making sure you understand how the governor's budget reflects into that. Robin is working real hard and trying to decipher that now. So please give her a chance to get that work done. In the judicial branch, it is a little different type of way we go about doing business when compared to the executive branch. Then the last two pages, pages 9 and 10, I wanted to just to go through, so you've probably seen some of these, but just again, what are the major features of the governor's budget? These are the larger agencies. The Department of Corrections, again, there were two major new prisons expected to come online and be worked on during 03-05 and some expansions. Those have been delayed. Those new sites are Lakeview and Madras. Those are not included. Any construction on those are not included in the 03-05 budget, and that saves debt service in the next biennium. This governor's budget does not anticipate closure of any facilities or consideration of release of inmates. You would have to approve that on the most part under ballot measure 11 and some of the other ballot measures. In some cases, it takes supermajority or changes the Constitution to change those the sentencing practices of the state. It does not roll up, unlike many agencies, the House Bill 5100 reductions, except for community corrections grants to counties. What the budget does is instead of having the new facilities built, it uses a number of temporary beds and considers rental beds from counties later in the biennium.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator.
Is that basically so? I'm just being facetious here. So we don't release any inmates, but they do.
I don't know what the motivation is there, Richard. You'd have to ask the governor about his budget. Yeah.
And the final point under Department of Corrections members is it does eliminate inflation for the agency, for providers and community correction grants. That's not the case in all agencies. The governor's budget took it out of the larger agencies, but did not do in every budget. I think the co-chair's instructions are to take a real close look at inflation in those other budgets. The Oregon Youth Authority generally rolls up the reductions in House Bill 5100, continues the elimination of 250 closed custody beds, which does mean closing down some of their facilities.
Where do those beds go? Where does it for the MTT, Doug?
Unlike the Department of Corrections, the Oregon Youth Authority has release authority. They can change their sentencing practices or release authority, unlike the Department of Corrections.
These haven't been sentenced, they've just been delegated? Or
I'm not sure of the technical terms, Representative Butler, but the head of the Oregon Youth Authority does have the ability to release folks to the community, unlike the director of the Department of Corrections has much, much, much more limited leeway in doing that. So, but these are closure of beds and closure of services to those folks. It also continues reductions in community programs, including parole and probation, which is sort of the same as the community corrections grants to counties in the adult system. County grants in terms of juvenile crime prevention and community services. Foster care, as well as residential treatment for kids. It reduces the juvenile crime prevention grants, I mentioned that, and the Oregon Youth Authority, just like the Department of Corrections, the inflation for agency community grants and provider payments have also been pulled out of this budget already by the governor. Criminal Justice Commission, the big reduction there is their share of the juvenile crime prevention grants, and when we get to discussing these agencies, you'll make sure you'll understand what the difference between the Criminal Justice Commission's crime juvenile prevention grants are and what OIA's are, because they are two different sets of grants, but they are interrelated. DPSST, or Department of Public Safety and Standards and Training, two items there worth noting. Many items worth noting, but the two larger ones are the budget does not assume that the construction of the new training facility that was scheduled to start here relatively soon in Salem. The budget does not anticipate that going forward until sometime after 03-05. Again, that was done to save debt service on that. And another reason that's related to that is the major funding source for DPSST, as well as some of the other public safety programs and some medical-related programs, the criminal fines and assessment, those revenues have been not growing as we expected a few years ago. And so you'll see reductions not only in DPSST because of that shortfall, but also in terms in the Department of Justice. So that's a major area to take a look at. In addition, the fire insurance premium tax revenue stream is also greatly constrained to what we expected it to be a year or two ago, and that's mainly out of because of the health of the insurance industry. Insurance industry can take when an insurance company goes out of business, there's a guarantee association that is financed through assessments to insurance companies. And there have been a number of insurance companies going out of business, but those claims still have to be paid out of this guarantee. Insurance companies that pay an assessment to fund that guarantee association can take that as a credit first on their income tax and then on the fire insurance premium tax.
Awesome.
Many of them aren't paying any income taxes. They're also having losses but haven't gone out of business, so the fire insurance premium tax is taking a brunt of those credits.
Is it fair to say, though, that, Doug, the insurance companies, because they get the credit one-for-one, they really don't pay anything in? I mean, they have the insurance. The insurance companies they pay in to make up for the losses, but then they get a full 100% credit.
Is it a pass-through? They pass it through to their prior insurance premium tax. It's just passed through the 1%.
It's passed through to their policyholders. One could probably think that's the case.
Is it shown broad on
what?
The policy?
I don't think it is separately shown.
I don't believe it is.
The fire insurance premium tax is an issue for DPSST, but the largest issue is with the fire marshal's office because that really is their major funding source. And there is to be a bill that I haven't seen come out yet. They're working on our proposal to somehow backfill those revenues.
It's in Representative Close's. That bill is in Representative Close's committee in the House. And that will be sent down to Wakeman.
Right. And the budget anticipates some of the positions in the fire marshal as well as DPSST's budget anticipates or assumes the passage of a bill, that bill or another bill. On the last page, so we can finish up here, Department of Justice, the Attorney General, again, just a reflection of the transfer of child support enforcement from Human Services to Justice. Their cuts, their general fund cuts in 5100 are generally rolled up in the Criminal Appeals Fund, Criminal Justice Division, and Civil Enforcement Division. I want to talk about when we have work session on the assumptions for those roll-ups. In the governor's budget, the roll-up of those cuts aren't universal, and the way they were rolled up are not universal. In some cases, it's four times the amount of the cut in 0103, and other times it's 2%, and we'll want to talk about that during work session. I think as a committee, you need to understand what it has and then be able to make that judgment of what it should be to be rolled up. And then a number of criminal fines and assessment, CFAA, there are those functions that are related to crime victims, CAMI, regional assessment teams, child abuse-related items that are part of the Department of Justice, those have been cut back because of the constraints of the CFAA revenue streams. Judicial Department, the court system, the public defender services, we talked a little bit already about the transfer of the indigent defense from justice or judiciary to the Public Defender Services Commission. Generally, the budget for the Judicial Department, I talked a little bit about that, sort of the difference of how that's treated. It retains the same level of reduced funding from the 0103 biennium, including the House Bill 5100 cuts. I talked a little bit about the $35 million reservation in the E-Fund. In terms of the Judicial Department, or these two departments in combination, they show a slight, I think it's 1.2% decrease when you factor in the $35 million reservation. The court system and indigent and public defender services show almost a 10%, I think it is 9.9% decrease from the 0103 budget when you take into account, remove that $35 million in the e-fund. So they also show a significant reduction. And finally, the Oregon State Police, generally it rolls up the House Bill 5100 reductions and other special session summaries. What you see is a net loss of 25% of their positions in patrol, roughly 25%. That is after factoring in the 40 patrol troopers that the governor added back in it as the final touches in his budget. Eliminates 10% of the positions in the criminal division, including 25 criminal investigators. The criminal division cuts are less, partially because a number of functions are transferred into them in the governor's budget, and we'll have to make sure we sort that out because they've gone through some major transfer responsibilities between their divisions, and it makes it hard to sort of track what their reductions are. I have put together something that I will probably bring and I can share with you that looks at the number of positions by division, factors out the transfers, and then shows the net reduction after the transfers.
I'd recommend if people that want to send that out to
I will.
Or bring it tomorrow. It is a good chart that you to look at because you're going to get some heat. They're turning up the heat on that.
Yep.
So.
Eliminates over 60% of the positions in the forensics division, closes the Ontario, the Pendleton, and the Coos Bay labs. The Bend lab was bought back in the final stages of the governor's budget process. That leaves the Portland lab, the Springfield, and the Central Point. I was going to say Medford Lab, but it's in Central Point. But those labs are, the staffing at those labs in the governor's budget, even those that remain open, are significantly reduced. Further elimination of positions in information systems and LEDS. LEDS is the law enforcement data system. We're talking about 40% reductions there. Fish and Wildlife only sees a 10% reduction in positions, mainly because they're almost entirely funded with other funds, either lottery funds or transfers from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife off fee revenues. So they don't see the kinds of cuts that the other divisions do because of that. And then the Central Command Dispatch, Admin, and Training, which all group together into something called Human Resources, they see a 31% reduction. So, and then they also have significantly reduced capital outlay resources, replacement of equipment, and there are some serious issues in state police and other law enforcement communities around equipment. For example, you have the inability of law enforcement agencies to communicate among themselves in emergency situations. It's difficult for many of them. There may be some federal funds coming down the line for that, but we shouldn't probably bank on that at this time.
And just so the committee is aware of some initiatives, that I'm looking at the interoperability issue as well as the 911 issue, as well as the criminal fines and assessments issue. So I've been involved in this issue since I first began. Some of you have been involved in these to some degree or another. Some of you will be new, but we'll try and have a briefing and bring you up to speed. But I do intend to look at the law enforcement electronics and data systems. I've got some policy initiatives. We'll see what the flavor is out there, but there's some significantly radical changes in what will happen. Whether those come out or not, I don't know, but I would appreciate the committee's indulgence, and I will talk to you individually on the particular issues that I intend to bring to the committee that will be sent down from the policy committee, at least from the House side. So. The other thing, just for housekeeping, I would like to, if people can put down their cell phone or pager number so that I can have it, and we could give it to Christine, so in case we're trying to track you in the building, we can do so. If you'd also mark down your main staff person who will coordinate, you know, the work that you will do on this committee, whether that be your, I have a scheduling person and kind of a policy person. I don't know. Every member does it a little differently,
if you put down your main staff person that either my staff or Doug or Christine can interact with, I would certainly appreciate it so that we can make sure and distribute the materials to you on a regular basis or track you down should the need occur. Also, just I understand that those of us who are on Ways and Means spend a lot more time in committee than other members of our particular bodies, and I know that Representative Butler and Senator George also chair their own committee and don't have a lot of free time in their day to, despite the fact that Representative Butler meets with people at 6 and you start your meeting at 6 or 6:30.
I start normally meeting with my constituents about 6.
Yeah.
That's seven. Seven local. That's 6 local time. 7 back in Eastern Oregon.
Despite those valiant efforts, it is time difficult to find time during your day. For those of you who are in Ways and Means, I don't mind if you pop in and out of committee. I'm going to need you on certain occasions to move things. I don't want you to. You know, my only concern is that we are going after a particular issue and you step out, and then we have to go back and revisit the issue. I'd appreciate your indulgence, and if I cut the debate short occasionally on those kinds of things, when if you have a bunch of questions, that we could handle those offline as well, if we need to do that. But Senator George and Representative Butler, I know, have a lot of other meetings with various agency heads and other things that they will need to duck out on occasion. So believe me that I understand that, and just let us know if you could, where you're going to be ahead of time, but sometimes you're not going to know. So I understand that as well, and we will find you. That's not carte blanche excuse, but at least it's an understanding. Representative Butler had to indulge me this morning, so I understand how that works.
But I knew where you were at.
You knew where I was at, in case you need me, and now that if we get your cell phones and pager numbers, that's great for us. Any other questions, housekeeping matters, anything for the good of the order?
Just quickly, we're going to talk about it afterwards, but I had to get back in my office today because I'm not feeling well. This makes an unbelievable noise through the system. So if we could get someone to come in and put some felt or something between these, you can't believe what it sounds like through the mics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's it. You want to see the two of them rubbing together.
Can you check that out? So
she can hear us.
Yeah, I can hear it. Now that we have a workers' comp claim,
we will. She got it this morning, too. I was doing like this every time that thing would happen.
All right. I appreciate it, and thanks again. And we're going to start off. Everyone's got the agenda for tomorrow. Doug has available those particular budgets. We're doing 2 budgets tomorrow. And just for maybe a brief overview from at least my perspective, the court procedures. The court procedures is housed at the University of Oregon and has done a lot of the heavy lifting intellectually for the what goes on with the change in court procedures. So they'll give us kind of a history and some of those items that they've been involved with.
But you mean they're not still wearing the powdered white wigs? Or?
Well, I don't know. You know, I've never been there to one of their meetings, so they very well could. And our other one is the
commission.
Judicial Fitness Commission, and they've prepared their real brief notebook as well for their presentation package. That deals with the judicial complaints against judges. You get constituent calls about those things on occasion, too. So if you would like to see those ahead of time or read any of those ahead of time, but I think those will go relatively rapidly. We don't intend to move those tomorrow by any way, shape, or form. And we'll probably hold those till later on to see what other items are out.
Chair, can you give us any further light and knowledge with regard to our committee rules?
I cannot. I don't have any knowledge. I think that
we have to come to agreement.
I think that is a question.
For the nobody else.
I think that is a question for the senators. So, all right.
You guys want to flip a coin and figure out what
that's what we would do.
All right. Questions? Answers? Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.